I want to read a couple more verses of Scripture. You don't need to turn to it, but I want to read from Matthew chapter 11, three verses that I'm going to add to what Brother Chuck read a moment ago. These are familiar verses, and the Bible, here's what the Bible says. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. I'm going to go back to Luke chapter 9 now, from where Brother Chuck read, and just as background, I want to tell you there's a lot of exciting things going on in Luke chapter 9. I mean, there's just this chapter is just jam-packed full of things, exciting things that happened in the life of our Lord and His disciples. In the first part, He sent His 12 disciples out with power and authority, and they were to go out to the then-known world and preach the gospel and heal the sick. And they did that for a number of days, and then when they came back, they told Jesus everything that they did. It's not recorded here, but recorded in other Gospels. They said, even the demons are subject unto us. I mean, we even had the power to cast out demons. And after getting their report, Jesus took them to a desert place, a place where they could be alone, to rest and relax. Well, the people found out where he was going, and they followed him, and a great crowd of people gathered. And Jesus used that occasion to preach and teach to them. And it was on that occasion that he asked Philip, the disciples came to him and said, hey, send the people away. It's getting toward dinner time. They've been here all day. They need to get something to eat. And Jesus said, well, you feed them. And Philip said, well, where are we going to get food to feed all this people, all these people? I mean, it would take many days' wages to feed this many people. And Andrew raises his hand. I can't wait to meet Andrew. He says, well, there's a little boy here. He's got two little fish and five loaves, but what is that among so many? And Jesus said, that's all I need. And he made everybody sit down, and that was the occasion that he fed the 5,000 men, plus all the women, plus all the children, probably 15,000 people that were there that day with just those two little fish and those five little loaves. After that, after Jesus had sent the people away, he was alone with the disciples again, and it's recorded in Luke chapter 9, where he asked them this question, who do men say that I am? Who do people say that I am? And the disciples said, well, some say you're John the Baptist. He'd already been beheaded. Some say you're John the Baptist come back to life. Some say you're Elijah or one of the other prophets. And Jesus turned to him and said, well, who do you say I am? And that's when Peter stood as spokesman for the disciples and said, as it's recorded in this chapter, the Christ of God. The Christ of God. And it was after that confession of Peter when he said, you're the Messiah. You're the Christ. You're the King we've been looking for. That Jesus said these words, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. What Jesus was saying to this group of men, these 12, one who had just confessed that he was the Messiah, one who had just confessed in answer to his question that he was the Christ of God, what Jesus said to them, look, you want to be my disciples? You want to follow me? Then one of the things that you have to do is take up your cross daily. Take up your cross daily. And I'm sure there were some of those men that asked the same question that's going through your mind right now. Well, what's my cross? When Jesus said, take up my cross daily, if I want to be his disciple, if I want to follow him, what does that mean? I mean, we know what the cross of Jesus looks like, and I'm sure this is a poor representation, but this is what we used one time for one of our Easter plays. I think, John, you played Jesus during that play, didn't you? But this is a representation of the cross, a cross. I mean, I'm sure, again, it's not very representative of the rugged cross, the old rugged cross that Jesus hung on, but it's a cross, and we know what his cross was. It was an altar where he was sacrificed for our sins. It was a place where he paid for all our shortcomings and made us right with God. It was a place where he redeemed us. And he wasn't forced to go to that cross. The Bible says when he went, he laid down his life willingly. He said, no man taketh it from me. I lay it down willingly to die for people that I love. And when Jesus went to the cross, it was the greatest expression in all of history of God's love for mankind. He went for no sins of his own, but he went for my sins, and he went for your sins. And so when Jesus said, take up your cross daily, we know what the cross of Christ is. I mean, we have one hanging in our auditorium. We look at it every week to be reminded of the price that was paid for our salvation on that cross. But what did Jesus mean when he says, look, if you want to be my disciple, if you want to follow me, then you have to take up your cross daily. You have to take up your cross daily. I think the Bible teaches that what our cross is a hurt or a heartache, something that's happened in our life that if it was our choice, we would say, boy, I want to get rid of this thing. I don't want this thing in my life. I mean, maybe it happened a long time ago. Maybe it happened just a few days ago. Maybe it's something you've lived with for all your life. But it's a hurt or heartache that God allowed to come into your life that forms your cross. I want to divide them into a couple categories this morning just to give you some examples of what I'm talking about. First of all, I want to mention, give you some examples of hurt or heartaches that come into our lives that were caused by somebody else. Somebody else. There are many people in our society today, for example, whose parents got divorced. And they're the children of divorced. Now, those children didn't have anything to do with that divorce. They didn't have anything to do with their parents splitting apart. And yet, they bear the hurt, they bear the heartache of having a mom and a dad that are no longer married, who they have to share their time between. They love them both. And they go from one place to another, sometimes just on the weekend, sometimes week to week. But they have to split their attention and split their love between parents that are no longer married. Now again, they didn't have anything to do with the divorce. But they bear the cross of having divorced parents. Something, again, that they had nothing to do with the cause of it, but they have to live with it the rest of their lives. That's a cross. Here's another example. I was talking to a guy this week, my age, 50, almost 51. His dad died several years ago. His mother is really sick and about to die. She called him into her hospital room this past week on Monday and said, I want to tell you something. You're adopted. You're adopted. We were talking Wednesday night and he was saying to me, he said, Daryl, I don't understand. And here's the questions that were going through his mind. Why didn't my real parents want me? Why didn't my real parents keep me? I mean, I love my dad, the man I knew as my dad. I love my mom. You couldn't ask for better parents to take care of you and to love you. I mean, I was loved from the earliest days I remember. But but he was saying, and you can imagine the shock that you would be, especially when you're old like me, and you find out who the man and the woman who you thought were your mom and dad who bore you, adopted you. And he said, and the thing that kept going through his mind, and I couldn't help him much, he said, why didn't they keep me? Why did they give me up for adoption? That's a cross that he'll bear for the rest of his life, always wondering what happened. Of course, he's going to try to find out. If it's been so many years, I doubt that he'll be able to find out. But he's going to try to find out who his real parents was. What about when you lose a loved one? When somebody dies? A mom, a dad, a brother or sister. And it's a result not of old age, not of some sickness where you can see it coming, but the result of somebody wanting another drink, getting in a car, running a red light, going through a stop sign, crashing into their car, and killing them needlessly. Somebody that took a drink just like a gun and pulled the trigger and killed somebody you loved. Herb was telling us yesterday, he's gone to work for a company that picks up people that have died. The ambulance company don't have time to do it anymore. And I was talking to him a minute ago. I said, well, how many runs have you had this week? And he was telling me like 25 or 30. People are dying all the time. And I wonder how many loved ones are killed because of a drunk driver, because somebody's on the road that shouldn't be. Now, that's a cross. I mean, when somebody lives to an old age and dies of natural causes, I mean, you mourn and you're sad about that, but you don't have the feelings that you have when somebody's life was wiped out quickly, suddenly, through an act of senselessness. And those that have lost loved ones to drunk drivers have a cross that they bear the rest of their life. A cross. How about the emotional pain that comes, like this friend of mine whose parents abandoned him or neglected him or abused him? Parents that never say, "I love you." Parents that never say, "I'm glad you're mine." Parents that never say, "Hey, you're accepted and you're worthwhile," and give you a sense of confidence. Or worse than that, parents that do things to you that no parents should do as they abuse their children. That's a cross that people have to bear and live with the rest of their life. If you ask them, they'd say, "Man, I wish it could have been different. I wish I didn't have to live with this memory. I wish I had a mom and dad that did right and took care of me." But there's people in this room this morning that bear the cross of emotional pain because of what their parents did to them. Now, I could give you other examples, but I think that's enough to illustrate what I'm talking about. People bear crosses because of what other people have done. People also bear crosses, I'll give you the second category, of hurt that they see in others that they wish they could fix, but they can't. Hurt that they see in others that they wish they could fix, but they can't. Here's some examples of what I'm talking about. I talked to a young mom 2 weeks ago, whose husband and father of her two children just abandoned her and the kids. Just walked out. They have no idea where he is. Just walked out. Just disappeared. She had her little boy with her when she came. 7 years old. Sat right back there in my office. This little 7-year-old boy looked up at me and said, "Where's my dad?" He was mad. "Where's my dad?" I didn't know what to tell him. I wanted to fix it. I wish I could go out and find his dad and kick him in the butt and say, "Get back home where you belong." But I don't know where he is. Now that mom and I are going to bear a cross. I want to fix it for that little boy. But I can't. How about when your mom has cancer? Or when your wife has diabetes? Or your husband has a heart condition? You're hurt for them. You want to fix it. You wish you could wave a magic wand and say, "Go away." You wish you could say a magic word and say, "Be gone." And you can't do that. And you hurt as you watch them go for chemo, and you hurt as you watch them as the disease ravages their body, and you hurt as you watch them go in for medical procedure after medical procedure after medical procedure, and you wish you could just say, "Make it go away, be gone, get rid of it," but you can't, and so you hurt, and you carry that cross. How about when your husband has Alzheimer's disease? Starts out pretty simple. He forgets where he puts the keys. He forgets names of different people. And you sort of laugh and you kid with him. But then he forgets how to dress himself. And he forgets where he lives. And eventually he forgets you. And he doesn't know you. And you watch and you hurt. And you wish you could help him. You wish you could make it go away. But you can't. That's a cross that people bear and have to carry. You see, just about everybody has a cross. Some of them we know about because they've shared with us There's other people that we may look at and say, boy, they've got everything together. There's nothing wrong in their life. But if we could peel away the veneer, if we could peel away the surface, and if we could look into their soul, every single person has a hurt or a heartache, a cross that they have to bear. And that's what Jesus said. Hey, that's your cross. If you want to be my disciple, if you want to follow me, then pick it up and carry it. Pick it up and carry it. And we say to him, boy, I don't want to carry it. I don't want to carry this cross. I wish you'd take it away. Hey, have you ever tried to do stuff, God? Have you ever tried to do stuff, Jesus, carrying this cross? Have you ever tried to preach carrying a cross around like this? Have you ever tried to teach Sunday school carrying a cross around like this? Have you ever tried to sing in the choir or usher or do all the things that you asked me to do? Have you ever tried to do it carrying a cross around like this? It ain't easy. Paul in the New Testament, he had a cross. He called it a thorn in the flesh. And he went to God three times and he said, hey, I could be a better preacher and I could be a better teacher and I could be a better missionary and I could be a better church builder if you just take this cross away and take it away. And three times he went to God and asked him to take the cross away. And every time God said, no, I'm not taking it away. Pick it up and carry it. You want to be my disciple? Then pick it up and carry it. But we say, I don't want to. I don't want to pick up that cross. I don't want to carry it every day. Isn't there another way? I mean, and we have all sorts of alternatives. We say, I'm just going to leave this cross. I'm just going to run away from it. I'm going to get as far away from it as I can. I'm not going to carry it. And I don't care if you go to the ends of the world. Wherever you go, you can look back and your cross will still be there. You have other people, they'll say, well, I'll just go to the altar and pray it away. And we'll come to the altar and we'll get down on our knees and we'll beg God and we'll say, oh God, would you take this away from me? I can't bear it anymore. I can't carry it anymore and I could be a lot better Christian if you take it away. And we'd pray and we'd look up and the cross would still be there. Other people say, well, I know what I'll do. I'll go to Benny Hinn and I'll have him strike it away. I'll go up there and I'll let them tap me on the forehead and I'll fall back and all my worries will be over. I want to tell you what. Why don't Benny Hinn go down to Hurley and cure everybody in the hospital and empty out the hospitals? Why don't he go down to Genesis and tap everybody on the forehead if he's got the power to heal people? Why does he do it on TV? Why don't he go to the hospitals and close all the hospitals? You can't pray it away. You can't run from it. You can't go to a faith healer and get it healed away. Other people say, well, I'll just ignore it. I'll just pretend that it doesn't exist. I just won't look at it. And you can try to ignore it all the time, but it's still there. And Jesus says, you want to be my disciple? You want to follow me? Then pick it up. Pick it up and carry it every day. And we go to him and we say, why? Why are you so mean? Why are you forcing me to carry something that I don't want to carry, that I don't want in my life, that I'd rather be out of my life? Why? Give you three reasons. That was all my introduction. Now I'm to my message. Don't worry, my message is short. Number one, I should bear my cross because I want to identify with something that identifies me. Do you know that it's my cross that identifies me and makes me who I am? Example, you can't talk to Lisa without asking, how's your mom doing? How's your mom doing? That makes her who she is. You can't talk to Martha without asking, how's Wayne? How's Wayne doing? That makes her who she is. That the things, the crosses that God has put in our life defines who we are. It makes us who we are. We should pick up our cross because that's who we are. Number two, it makes us humble. It makes us humble. You see, if I say, well, I don't need to pick up that cross. I can go out and be God's disciple. I can do it on my own. I can do it in my own power. I can do it in my own strength. I can do it in my own with my own intelligence. I don't need God. How can you be somebody's disciple if you're trying to do it on your own? There's something beautiful about the humility that comes when you go and pick up that cross that God's put in your life that He's told you to carry, and you carry it. It's like when Jesus told Paul, He said, no, I'm not going to take that thorn out of your flesh. That's what makes you you. And besides that, if you didn't have the thorn in the flesh, you think you could do it all by yourself. You wouldn't know you needed me. So it gives us humility. And the third reason that we should pick up our cross is because that's where Jesus is. Hey, Daniel, come up here for a second. Hold this up. Jesus said, pick up your cross and carry it daily. And we look at it and say, I don't want to. I don't want that. I mean, I'd rather be anywhere else than in my life. I don't want it. But you know where Christ is? He's at your cross. He's at your cross. And here's what we think about. Hang on just a second. When we think about carrying the cross, we think about carrying it like this, lugging it around. Let me show you something. You want to know how Jesus wants us to carry it? Come here, Daniel. Get on that side right there, right over here. Here's how He wants us to carry it. He's on this side. I'm on this side. What's the cross become? A yoke. A yoke. Where two people are strapped into it and they pull together, accomplishing something. Who do you think's pulling most of the weight? Jesus is. In fact, like Brother Forrest says a moment ago, and I'm too heavy to do it, Daniel couldn't hold me, but a lot of times we're hanging on with our feet off the ground, suspended in air, and He's going forward with the yoke that we're yoked together with Him in, and getting us places and doing things that He wants us to do. Many of you grew up on a farm. You know exactly what I'm talking about. Let's turn around this way, Daniel. You know exactly what I'm talking about in a yoke. A yoke is simply nothing more than a cross turned sideways. A yoke hooked two animals together where you could go out and plow the field or harrow. Is that what they call it when they get all the clods out, Brother Forrest? Harrow the field or plant the field or harvest the field. That's what you use a yoke for, to bind two animals together. And what Christ says, He said, take My yoke upon you and learn of Me. Our yoke is our cross that binds us to Christ so that with Him we can go out into the world and we can do some plowing and we can do some planting and we can do some harvesting. You see, when we look at it like this, hang it up, hold up just like that. When we look at it like this, we say, I can't do anything carrying a cross like that. I can't, it's too hard. But when we look at it like this, we can say, like Paul did, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Thank you, sir. So this morning, our Savior says, take up your cross daily. Pick it up. You want to be My disciple? Then pick it up like a yoke and get in it together. And together, we can accomplish the things that I want you to accomplish as a Christian. Now, as I close, let me tell you, before you come to that cross, you need to come to Christ's cross. You need to go to His first. Because if you're not saved, that's where you get saved. If you don't know Christ as your Savior, you need to come to the cross. You need to see Him dying for your sins. You need to see as He was buried and rose again, defeating death, defeating the grave. And you need to receive Christ. And if you're here today and you're not sure, you're on your way to heaven. You're here today and you never received Christ as your Savior, then you come to the cross of Christ. You get saved. Most of us here, not all of us, are Christians. And again, some of you, you've never shared a problem, and if just to look at your life, a person would say, boy, they got everything just right in their life. They got no problems. But again, if we peel back the veneer, every single person has a hurt or a heartache in their life that God's allowed to come. And he sent that. That makes you you. And he says, pick it up. Pick it up. And let's carry it together. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this simple lesson from your word. And I pray that we'd be obedient disciples this morning, those of us that are Christians, and most of us are here this morning, that we'd be obedient, that we'd take our crosses and we'd pick them up daily, and we'd follow you. It teaches us and helps us remember that we have to depend on you. It's not our power, it's your power. It's not our intelligence, it's your intelligence. It's not our might, it's your might. And so I pray, Father, that as we pick up our cross, that we'd look across, and I know we'd see Jesus as we pull the yoke together. And then, Father, I pray for those that might be here this morning that don't know Christ as their Savior. They're a sinner. They're headed for hell. They have no hope apart from Christ. And I pray this morning that you'd impress on them the urgency, their need to receive Jesus, and their need to receive Jesus today. Help them to understand that he is the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father. No man comes to heaven. No man gets right with God except through him. And Father, if there's just one person here that isn't sure that they're on their way to heaven, I pray today would be the day that they make sure by asking Jesus to be their Savior. Bless the invitation. Use it as you see fit. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.